What is Moody's man? Not man. Moody's man. We're Moody's mamen.
Yep.
We're Moody's men. But this is about magazine on RTR.
RFM Moodich Mag 92.1 Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM. Yeah, it's good to be back here on Moodich Mag, downtown Mount Lawley. Lovely weather outside. Yeah, Jim all alone, solo today. Yeah. Tony was away last week too, travelling around. He's a travelling man, travelling Dilbury. Wilbury? That's the name of a band. Dilbury's not a very nice name, but never mind. I'll call him Travelling Dilbury. Nick Abraham was courtesy last week. Sadly, he's away on sorry business downtown in the southern area of Western Australia. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard me talk about sorry business in our community. Sorry business is usually loss, grief and lost time when people have passed and or funeral times. Yeah, issues we deal with constantly. And yeah, funerals are usually Friday, but sadly today we have funerals as well across the Great Southern. And, you know, travelling around Australia, it's no different. Nowhere is immune to sudden deaths or grief and loss issues that face First Nation people across the country. Hey, and some good news from myself. I came back from Adelaide yesterday. Those of you may know, some of you may have already seen Genocide in the Wildflower State. For efficiency, GWS. No, it's not football. It's a documentary. We won a laurel at the Fringe Festival in Adelaide. So there's some more to talk about how well the production is going. And yes, there's also going to be a screening later on in Reconciliation Week towards the end of May. So keep your eyes and ears open. If need be, just go to Genocide Wildflower State website and you'll get all the updates, including this week's award at the Fringe in Adelaide. And apparently the festival in Adelaide is one of the biggest in Australia. I didn't realise that. Didn't get to too many shows, just the one we screened at the Mercury Theatre, downtown Adelaide. So if you just tuned in, yeah, Jim here solo today. Starting to get a bit of a complex about being here by myself, but never mind. 0405 921 921 is our text number. If you want to know what a laurel is, yes, we'll let you know. Look it up. And tell me what it means anyway, because I don't know. 0405 921 921. Tell me what a laurel is. Text me on that number. So if you tuned in, yes, this is RTR FM 92.1. Also Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM. It's a song I like. Patrick Davies, and we'll have our first guest coming onto the show a little later. Shannon Dodson, all the way from the Healing Foundation in Canberra. Here's Patrick Davies. Oh, yes, Patrick Davies, Unfinished Business. And our guest this morning is Shannon Dodson. Hello, Shannon.
Hello, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Good morning, or is it afternoon over there in Canberra? It's morning here.
Afternoon here, over in the eastern states.
Yeah, I'm sort of all a bit lost today because we've just had some good news. We won another laurel in Adelaide for the Fringe Festival. So I'll tell you more about that. But more importantly, Shannon, thank you for joining RTR FM, Moodich Mag, Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM here in WA. Firstly, who's your mob and where are you from?
And thanks for having me, Jim. Appreciate it. So my mob are the Yarru people from Broome in WA, and I'm living over here on Ngunnawal Ngambri land in Canberra, but still have my many family and cultural connections to Rubibi up there in the Kimberley.
Too good, Shannon. Look, it's great to get you on the show. Now, your role, you work at the Healing Foundation in Canberra. Tell me what you do.
So I'm the CEO of the Healing Foundation, and the Healing Foundation was an organisation that was set up to look at intergenerational healing, but specifically around supporting stolen generation survivors and organisations and really amplifying the voices of stolen generation survivors, their families and communities.
Right, and I didn't realise, but today is Close the Gap Day.
Yeah, so today is Close the Gap Day, which is not to be confused with Closing the Gap. Close the Gap was the original groundswell movement that happened to really highlight the inequities for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people.
Right. Shadow, we've got a series of questions that we've put together, and you know, we've been talking about the double gap on radio here for a long time, myself and Tony, who's normally my co-host, and previously Nick Abraham and Jody Hoffman, who sometimes appears on the show. It's a one-hour show that good news stories around our First Nation community. So I really appreciate your clarity around what close the gap or closing the gap, and to date what it really means for stolen generation peoples. And we've, as I say, we've talked about it, but from your impression, from your experience, why is it more important, do you think, for stolen people in this country?
I think that, you know, we really need to understand the complex issues and for stolen generation survivors, and also understanding that survivors are a gap within the gap, as you said.
Yeah.
That survivors do experience issues at a larger gap than those of just the general Indigenous population. And I think that it's really important for us to remember that, you know, in almost a generation since the Bring Them Home report was delivered down, we still have seen a real lack of movement on those comprehensive recommendations, with only 6% actually being implemented. Mm-hmm. And that we really, as a country, not just as one government, not, you know, just as, you know, it really has to be a comprehensive approach from everyone in how we address the injustice that survivors have faced in this country.
Mm. I'm talking to Shannon Dodson, CEO of the Healing Foundation. So what are some of the priorities for action that would make the most difference to the survivors your organisation works with?
I think that there's obviously a lot of different issues that need to be addressed, and that it is a complicated thing where, because so many of these recommendations haven't been addressed, there's so much work to do. But considering that we don't have much time to be able to get some big pieces over the line, our recent report that we put out by the Healing Foundation really talks about some of those urgent priorities, and they really look at access to records for survivors and their families, also redress for survivors, that equitable redress, and as you would know very well, WA as well as Queensland are the only states that haven't provided any compensation. Also looking at aged care, because most survivors are eligible for aged care, and also what those wraparound support looks like for survivors, particularly when it comes to stolen generation organisations that are not funded adequately, and, you know, there's more need for services to be bolstered for survivors.
Yes, of course. Yeah, that's and we, as you know, we both, Tonji and myself, Tony Hanson, myself, who's in your company today, regularly talk about the double gaps. And so what can service providers or policymakers that may be listening to the show, you never know who listens to this show, Shannon, what can service providers, allies, how can they help with these priorities, do you think?
I think that it's really understanding that survivors are a unique group as part of the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander population, and have experienced a history and a current history. These impacts are not in the past. They're still suffered by many people today. And those things need to be taken into account when making any policy or service decisions, particularly, you know, what a trauma-informed, culturally safe approach does look like. What does that actually mean for survivors? And I think that it really is looking at ensuring that survivors are part of those conversations in terms of what their needs are. And that's why at the Healing Foundation, we try and amplify those voices as how we can. But I think that it really is up to services to ensure that that is a group that they are actively targeting and speaking to, because there is so much to learn and so much that needs to be learnt, because at the end of the day, the experiences that these people have gone through was at the hands of the Australian government and the policies and the things of the time. And so really it is our responsibility to rectify that.
Mm. Well, you probably answered the next question. What is the Healing Foundation's role? So it's purely advocacy. But why is it taking so long to achieve such crucial outcomes, Shannon? What's the opposition? What's the barriers, you think?
I think there's a lot of barriers, because there are so many complexities and so many things that need to be done. But I think at the Healing Foundation, we're really trying to work with organisations and survivors on how we can work through specific policies and services to actually get some of these things over the line. That's why we really need, you know, we're only one organisation, and as I was saying, the stolen generation organisations across the country are only small and often are not adequately funded. And so we really need the voices of others to advocate and help to push some of these things across the line. But I think that it really is one of the things that came from the review of the recommendations is that there just hasn't been a whole of government comprehensive approach to the original bringing them home recommendations. It's been very piecemeal. So that, I think, with some more concerted effort, I think that we could push things a lot further.
Okay, look, we didn't talk about this, but you did say that under the stolen generation organisations around the country are under-resourced, and given the gaps in services, how can the Healing Foundation support these agencies in being better funded? Is that part of your agenda as well?
Yeah, and we definitely continue to advocate for those organisations, particularly at a federal but also state and territory level, to ensure that there's even the recognition that stolen generation organisations are a specific sector that provide very specific support, and that's something that we continue to have discussions with governments around. But also I think it's important for anyone who's listening to also advocate on behalf of these organisations that do provide very specialised support, and I really encourage you to look up the many organisations that are in every state and territory that, you know, some of them also have the potential for you to donate, but that advocacy is really important to ensure that they're not missed as part of the larger closing the gap targets.
They're just waiting for us to die. They're just waiting for us to die before they consider compensation. Now, you've used that as a title to your latest paper. Why did you do that?
So the title of our latest paper is called Are You Waiting For Us To Die? And the reason why we used that title was because it is something that we've heard uttered by survivors over the years. I think it is a frustration that many survivors have felt. And we felt like there needed to be a quite, confronting sort of notion to the report and make people sort of take it in.
Good on you. That's about all the questions I have, Shannon. But look, you come from Broome. Who's your favourite brand from Broome and why?
Well, I was hoping that you might play the Pigram Brothers.
Oh, we've got something.
obviously, the Pigram Brothers are from Broome, and I do have family members who are Pigrams as well. So
good on you.
I might be a bit biased, but I do think that they're probably one of the best groups in Australia. So encourage people to take a listen.
Good on you. Shannon, thanks so much for being on the show. Really appreciate your time, taking it out of your busy schedule. So you get back to your work now, and we'll talk some more later on. So Shannon Dodson, thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
Yeah, Shannon Donson, CEO of the Healing Foundation in Canberra. Tony Hanson's over there on the Stolen Generations Reference Group meeting for the next couple of days over there. Shannon, daughter of Mick Dodson, who was very much involved in the Bringing Them Home report, or the National Inquiry into Removal of Aboriginal Children from Their Families, Culture and Language. And as Shannon wanted, something from Pigrams. Here it is. Pigram. Yeah, Pigram Brothers, courtesy of Shannon Dodson, who just appeared on the show a little while ago, CEO of the Healing Foundation, talking about Close the Gap and what's missing in Stolen Generation world right across the country. So it's great to have you on the show. If you have any thoughts, 0405 921 921. Hey, look, I'm going to play a band now I've never heard of before, which is a big, gotta slap ya. I need a good slapping because I haven't heard of this mob before. Yugal, a blues band from Nukur, established around 1968. Get out of here. And considered one of the first and longest running Aboriginal blues bands in the Northern Territory. They released their debut album, Blues Across the River, in 2003, which is credited as being one of Australia's great blues albums. Here they are with their song, Yugal. Ah, yeah, Nuku Blues, their song Yugal, first time I've heard that mob. And my guest, Phil Wally-Stack, hasn't heard of them before too. Welcome, Philip Wally-Stack.
Hey, thanks for that. Yeah, they sound good, eh?
Hey, they've been around since 1968. How come we never heard about them?
Since when, 1968?
Yeah.
Well, only one of us was born then, wasn't it?
That was me. One of the first longest-running Aboriginal blues band in the Northern Territory. They released their debut album, Blues Across the River, in 2003. We're going to be hearing more of their music, I tell you what, on Moonish Mag. Philip Wally-Stack.
You know the thing about that, Onk?
Yeah.
That's what I love about us blackfellas.
Yeah.
We are blues and R&B people, you know? we are soul people, though. When did we turn into country rock?
True, eh? Well, we've been in country rock for a long time, and there's probably a reason for that. Philip Wally-Stack, who's your mob and where you from?
My mob, you throw a stone anywhere and you lift one of my relations, I tell you that.
Too true.
Know, all my family, I come from, you know, some of the biggest bloodlines in Noongar country, with the Winmar family, the Garlick family, the Jetta family, right across, so it keeps going. And
Yep.
Yeah.
So which part of Noongar country is that? Or is that all of it?
Nearly. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that I got connection right through the old Noongar country. So, but it's a good thing to have, you know. It's because we all one mob, like I like to think about it. You know?
Oh, we do, and we should. We shouldn't be divided. And sometimes, you know, I've got a big family too, and sometimes I wish I was an orphan. But never mind, we won't go there. Look, you've released a song recently, but I'm also looking to see what else is on our system here. I've got to get some music from you, I've got to tell you, because we're a little bit, I try and tell this mob, get this music, get that mob, get that mob, and no, they're just not listening to me. So,
yeah.
But I guess when you get popular like yourself, we don't play your music.
No, I don't know what it is.
No, I guess RTR is one of those radio stations that likes to seek out new music, and those that are more commercialised, like, well, the obvious ones, we try not to play them. But then again, when you say commercialise, a lot of our music's not played on mainstream radio station. So we've got to support them, eh?
Right.
Tell me about yourself. When did you start?
I always say that, you know, it's, we need to support a lot more local artists, you know, whether you're Noongar or Wadjalo.
Yep.
We need to start putting our local artists on a platform, you know, on a not a pedestal, but on a platform.
And, well, hang on, we'll put you on a pedestal today.
Well, RTR is one of the local stations that are great supporters of local music.
Too true.
You know,
too true.
With in the Pines, you know, I've done In the Pines quite a few times to fundraise for RTR and things like that, and the stuff that RTR have done over the years is very supportive, you know. Yeah. So always got time for RTR.
Good, good. Well, I hope you're charged up. I mean, I hope your phone's charged up. I don't want to be stung up.
He's stung up.
Because I'm going to have you on the show for a little while now, because I don't have a co-host today, so I was kind of hoping you might come in and give us a face-to-face yarn. But, hey, when did you start your music?
I'd love to come in, but no one buy my music. I've got no petrol money.
So when did you start making music or performing in this sort of area? When did you start?
Well, performing, you know, I had no choice growing up in the Wally family with Uncle Richard and the Midair at the time, you know, back in the
80s. Right, right, yes.
You know, me and my brother boys, we got tucked straight on stage as little fellas, you know.
Yes.
So we was basically born into entertainment, you know.
Mm.
But, you know, doing that my whole life, I always wanted to be an actor. You know, growing up and seeing Uncle on TV.
Right.
I'd be like him, you know, so... I wanted to be an actor, and I went right through performing and things like that, obviously doing traditional dance since I could walk, and then starting my own dance groups back up in Northam and Wildcatcham and places where I grew up. And then coming down and, you know, went to school down in Perth here, and I wanted to leave school, and when I wanted to leave, this was at the beginning of year 11, and Mum said to me, if you're going to leave school, then you better get a job, get an apprenticeship. So... our apprenticeship was set up in the painting and decorating in the construction area. So I went straight out of school and into a four-year apprenticeship of that. And after that, I ended up running the business up there in Northam of painting, and had a couple of uncles and pops under me who was apprentices as well. So,
whoa.
Doing that, but then, you know, doing dig performances and traditional dance.
Right. Right.
And then one day I said, you know, my dream is to be an actor. So I ended up going to Whopper, and I did the Aboriginal Theatre course at Whopper with Rick Brayford. A big shout out to Rick Brayford at the moment. He's just retired from there, and he created the whole Aboriginal Theatre course at Whopper. And Simon Stewart has now taken it over, so congratulations to Simon. But Rick Brayford, a lot of people in the arts industry was trained by Rick. A lot of our Noongar mob that come through.
Yeah. So,
and he's still training mob today, you know. And but, you know, I went through that course, and then I found out about a audition for NASDA over in Sydney, which is the National Aboriginal Islander Skills Development Association.
Yes, no, it is.
And I thought, well, no, I don't want to be a dancer. I want to be an actor.
Mm.
And then they said, well, if you come over, you get free flights, free accommodation. You do some workshops for a week, and that's it. I went, oh, well, free trip to Sydney. Never been to Sydney before. I'm 21 years old. I'm going. So jumped on the plane, went to Sydney for a week, and got taught these jazz, tap, ballet, hip-hop, all these styles of dance. But also we got taught the traditional dances from the Torres Strait Islanders come down. Elders from up there come down, and also elders from Yirrkala come down and taught us their traditional dances. And I went, oh, love this. And so come back home after that. About a month later, I got a letter in the mail, and it said, congratulations, you've been accepted to NASDA Dance College. And I went, oh, well, I'm moving to Sydney. So I went over there, and I studied dance for a year over there, and then I started getting a bit homesick, so I come back home, and I moved back to Northam, and I thought to myself, this is a funny story. You know, Wadjalas always carry on about blackfellas on Centrelink all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, apparently we're all on Centrelink. So I got back to Northam, and I said, you know what? I've never had a day off or been on the dole since I left school, you know.
Yeah.
I'm signing up to the dole on Monday. So Thursday I went into the Wheatbelt Job Futures, it was called, up in Northam. Signed up for the dole. I went back in on the Friday for a meeting or interview, and then they said, "How would you like to work here?" And I said, "What?" And they said, "Yeah, we need an Aboriginal employment officer."
Get out.
And so Monday, I started there as an Aboriginal employment officer. So I was on the dole for like 24 hours. And but from that, you know, part of that, we was dealing with a lot of things, and I got to help a lot of our mob up in the Wheatbelt with, you know, finding jobs, getting driver's licenses, getting certificates in, you know, forklift training or whatever they needed, you know, to get.
Wow.
But the music side of things, you know, that sort of happened up there, whereas, you know, every weekend, you know, I was jamming with my Uncle Yogi Garlett, Alan right. Garlett up in Northam, yeah. Place for Pipeline Band. So his nickname is Diddles, you know, because the way he plays the guitar. And so anyway, me and him would be charging up on the weekends and things like this, you know, back then. And we'd always end up on our own around the fire at the back of his place.
Right, yeah.
Mostly minus 10 degrees at the time.
Get out.
So we're sitting there with a bottle of Stones and a cup of tea, you know?
Yes, cup of tea, yep.
It was sitting there, and he's teaching me how to play the guitar over and over, you know? And
right.
It's a funny story I do like that. But, you know, I never planned to be a musician. I never planned. I couldn't sing for shit, and I'm still the first one to put my hand up and say, "I can't sing." You know, I know it. I can hear a singer when I hear one, and but then I look at people like Mick Jagger and stuff, you know, and they can't sing.
Nah. Look, let's introduce your new song, because I want you to stay on the line and talk some more about this new song and maybe a couple more that you can introduce for the show here on Mortgage Mag. Listeners, Philip Wally Stack is my guest today, and he's going to stick around for a while. Philip, what is this new piece of music?
So the music's new, but the song is old.
Oh, okay.
Ancient. So a lot of people know when they see quite a few Noongar performances around the place, in particular from Uncle Richard and Mitter,
right.
You hear the song Jennings and Bowl being sung.
Okay.
And so this is the first song that I ever wrote. And it's because I only knew three chords at the time, and I didn't know how to strum the guitar properly and things like this. So the first version of this song that I did years ago is very slow, it's very boring, but but it got me to do a gig, my first ever gig at Uluru for Chevron's board of directors that flew in from all around the world. It was this intimate dinner on the foothills of Uluru, and the song went from there, you know, and now I wanted to revamp it up and reboot it up and make it a bit more poppy. I've heard it over the years because, you know, as an artist, you evolve, you know.
You do.
And
you do.
You're meant to get better. So I think I did.
Good.
So I end up re-recording this song and it just really pumps. It's a really cool song. The film clip that we did. You know, is at a brand new venue in Burswood, and Christian Kennedy, who filmed it for me, is an award-winning filmmaker. So
wow.
The song is really upbeat. It's we've got some great artists performing on there with me, and hopefully you mob enjoy it.
Let's go to it. Oh, on the rock, Phil Wally Stack. Welcome back, welcome back. Hey, explain that song some more. When did you first write it?
15, 17 years ago or something.
Oh, and you've revived it now. That's just wicked. That's deadly.
And all it's about, you know, it's I was up at King's Park, my favourite place just to go and sit and out, you know, and at that time I was imagining what Boralu looked like before the buildings and the roads had come through, you know? So that's what I'm singing about, is standing up at King's Park there, looking out over the river and imagining what it looked like before before any buildings come through.
Now, listen, Kyle, we've got 10 minutes to go and there's a couple of songs I want to play.
Yeah.
But tell me, we might get to them, we may not, but so what's been your greatest achievement in your musical career? You performed up at Uluru. Where else have you been of note and what have you been so happy with?
I've been to America about 5 times.
Whoa, okay.
I've been to Dubai about 5 times and done lots of concerts there.
Wow.
Germany, France, you know, Paris, Cannes, China, Malaysia, Indonesia. Yeah, so, and obviously all around Australia, so.
Okay. Well, we'll come back and talk to you. I just didn't know that you'd been so well-travelled, so. That's my fault, working here at Murray's Mag and just spending all my time at radio. I've got to get out more.
No, look, I think because, you know, like I said, there's different styles of music out there, you know, and one thing about my style of music is that a lot of my songs are not out there on the big stages or anything, you know. A lot of the performance that I did is in the corporate world.
Yes.
So that's where I always say that's where the money is. So,
of course,
you know, you go into a show somewhere, and, you know, you're getting paid ridiculous amounts of money just for a 10-minute show, or you go into a pub and you play for 4 or 5 hours and walk out with $500, you know?
Yeah.
I looked at it from that side of things, of more of show business before show time. So, and that's some of the things, you know, when I met with people like Rodriguez and Glenn Frey, these are the things that they drilled into my head over the years, you know, and obviously having people like Uncle Richard Wally and Uncle Ernie Dingo and Ben Barker, they drilled these things into my head as well, you know, is take care of show business before a show time, you know.
Good. So you stand on the shoulders of giants, and that's what I like to say constantly, that we stand on the shoulders of giants. You've mentioned Richard Wally and Ernie Dingo, Mark Ben Barker. Look, there's a couple of songs we got on the system. Which one would you like? And tell us why.
I think because we're talking about family and my family history and family ties and bloodlines and yourself as well, you know, with your work that you do amazingly with Yochai for the Stolen Generation.
Yes.
I think Memories would be a great song in memory of my grandmother, Nana Teresa Wally. So.
Lovely. We'll play that and come back to you. Philip Wally's Tank.
Gotta keep those memories.
Oh, Phil, let's come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I want to play another song, and my show's got to finish to 12. So, Philip Wally Stack, you've been on the show, and you've been a guest many times on Morning Mag. So, thank you so much for coming on the show today, and telling our listeners you know, what you've done in your life and the giants, the shoulders you stand on. So, look, appreciate you being on the show. Love to have you back at another time. There's some interesting thing happening too on radio, which I should talk to you about at some point, digital radio. But look, let's just introduce Sacred Ground and then we'll say goodbye. But Sacred Ground, where did that come from? How long has it been? How long have we been listening to it?
Yeah, that's been around for a number of years now. Not as long as on the rock, obviously, but this one is all about just having fun and, you know, when times get tough, get out and dance. You know, I got it from the idea of every time we do a Nyambi or Crobbery and everyone jumps up and shakes a leg, and it's just about stomping out any bullshit that you got in your life. You know?
Too good.
Out.
Yeah, I think karaoke does the same thing for me, but never mind, that's another subject. Philip, thank you for being on the show. As you know, it goes to Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM, so wonderful talent you have there. No, thank you so much. Well travelled, Philip Wally Stack. Thank you for being on the show. We're going to go out with Sacred Ground. Thanks, Philip.
So lovely, Uncle.
Okay,
you.
Cheers.
Yeah. Move to the rhythm, bump up the sound. Bump up the sound. Dance. Shake off the ground. Move to the rhythm.